Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Soup.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do? What is up? Good Wednesday. It is one half of your sports bros.
I'm a half?
Hey, wait a minute. I got to introduce you, dude.
Sorry, jumped the gun.
You guys know who that was? Well,
Does that help?
No. This show is special because it's Wednesday. But it's also special because I got a guy over there who is probably three IPAs deep. Ladies, he said only two. Ladies and gentlemen, he is him. It is Patrick Harris in today on the program.
You know.
Thank you. Welcome. And,
you know, it's a big game situation, man. Big game situation, and I'm here for it.
It's a what now?
Big game situation.
Why?
Well, you were so desperate.
Yeah.
You knew that you could not possibly do anything without.
I needed, yeah.
Without
I needed
me. You. Without I needed, me, specifically.
I needed you today.
Yep, I'm here.
Well, you're here because you said, hey, Rob, Sook's going to be out. If you need me, just let me know. I don't have a job.
Free agent is what I like to call it.
All right. I mean, you know.
Free agent or retirement, one of the two.
Doing this job is a little bit like sports in that your best ability is availability.
Without a doubt.
You know, this is
paging
what Will...
Jordan Schultz and Will
yes,
Ortner.
They both do it really well.
They
Will
never turn down a shit.
Never.
That's right. They're always available. And that is why they're up-and-coming stars of radio. And now, let's add you to the list. By the way, let's not overlook the real life. Like, what other show has a Sprint Tri Clydesdale on it? Ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Buckley. And listen, Buckley went on a run today. And he showed me his route, or is it route? What do you say?
I think it's route, but I only say route for 66.
Oh.
Because of the song.
Okay.
The song is like, on route 66. Yeah. But everything else I would say route. It's like, I would say the Caribbean, unless it's Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah, Caribbean.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm going to see the new Pirates of the Caribbean
movie. So basically
movie.
You're a sheep and you just go with what everybody else
yeah,
says.
Yeah, but like Ronald Acuna is from the Caribbean.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Yeah.
Caribbean. Yeah, Caribbean.
But why I would
it,
say...
Why is, we went through this once. One is definitely correct and the other is incorrect. Caribbean versus
I mean,
Caribbean.
I mean, they're from the Gulf of America, realistically.
I think that's it might right. be... Is it, are
Never
they from Caribe? Is it so? Are they? Is it Caribbean for that
or
reason?
Is this like a Turkey thing? Turkey
Caribbean. I don't know.
Like, doesn't Turkey have a new name?
Wouldn't it help if we could remember any of our segments that we've ever done? Because I think we just did this, didn't we?
I think we've done it within the last 6 to 9 months.
Yes, and I don't remember. But
the best is 6 to 9 months, not like 6 to 9 years. Oh yeah, 9 years ago we talked about this.
Well,
I don't expect you to remember that.
Sometimes I remember those.
Yeah,
you know they're classics. I mean, like in our head, they're classics. Hold on, I got to log into my. See, they make you so to log in here. We have about 8 steps.
Oh yeah, I was trying to do mine
Caribbean
and
Caribbean.
I was talking Caribbean. With Danny Meringue. You know, you do the
he shaved his head, by the way.
I know, it's wild.
How about that?
You do the shuffle, you know, it's like you're coming into the studio like we do on Tuesdays.
That's right.
You come in, you get about 10 seconds to say your highs and your goodbyes. And Danny and I were having a nice conversation about shaving head. As a bald guy, I'm really mad at people with full heads of hair that shave their head. Mm. Like Shaka Smart. Like, why were you bald for so long when you have awesome hair?
I think he looks better bald, by the way.
I think he does, too.
Agreed.
But the whole time, I'm kind of sitting there in the back of my mind thinking, like, Danny, I got to end this conversation. I got, like, 30 steps to log into this
Danny
computer.
Likes to talk.
And I only log into this. I only log into yours. Yeah. I never log into this.
Well, I've got a whole control system over here.
That's what I do when I'm over there. Now I'm just flying
True story.
Blind.
You know? Yeah.
I'm just blind over here.
Yeah, you're in Sook's spot.
Yep.
Sook's chair. Yep. Watch out. Well, anyway, Buck went on a run today, and he sent me his route.
Or my route.
Or his route. And he said it's Clyde's hump day hoofing, which I enjoyed. He's a Clydesdale. That's what they call the fatties that are in the sprint tries.
The Clydesdale.
The 220 plus division.
They call the Husky boys, they call them Clydesdales.
Yeah, in triathlons, we're Clydesdales.
So he's a sprint try Clydesdale.
Sprint triathlon
wannabe
Clydesdale.
Which, this morning he went almost 3.3 miles. At a pace of 11 minutes per mile. So that's pretty good. That's better than you did the other day.
A new personal best.
Look at him go.
You know, it's always funny. Like, I want to sit here and, like, laugh at Buck for running for fun because I think running for fun
is not fun. I love it.
One of the dumbest things in the world.
I could not agree.
But, like, you ran, what, 3.5 miles today?
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you last time I ran 3.5 miles. Couldn't tell you the next time I'm going to run 3.5 miles.
I saw a woman running, you know, shuffling along there on the way in. And I always really appreciate people that are doing that. Now, I used to, full disclosure.
You were a runner, right?
We were a running family. My dad was a runner, and we got into running, and my brother ran, and, you know, we ran a lot.
You were a little cross-country guy?
I did a little cross-country.
Do you track also? Or did that conflict with baseball?
I did some track. I was pretty slow, but, you know, actually, I was pretty fast. I was a little guy, but... I was white, so I was
gym rat.
So I did
there first was a, in, last out.
I mean, there was a time in my life where I liked running, but I could not agree any more with you now that I'm just not going to go for a jog. It's just not going to happen. Even if my doctor said you're going to die in a week if you don't, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
I'd go say my goodbyes at the bars.
Without a doubt, yeah. You got a week left unless you run 3.5 miles every day. It's like, whew, babe, you want to go to France for a couple days?
Right. And then not run there.
No, definitely not.
So anyway, we're really supportive of our sprint try, Clydesdale.
Well, at least one half of this show is. We'll find out about the other half.
But sometimes, do you watch people running? See, Buck would be a good guy to ask this because you are now that guy out running. He's just jogging. Nice weather. Beautiful day.
Yeah, it was a great day for a run.
What do you think when you see other people running? Especially the ones that aren't like... Because you see those people that you can tell run like 9 miles a day.
Yeah, you can tell the runners from the people trying to get into shape.
Yes,
the guys have a shirt off. So you can see them physically. They run.
Take off your shirt and throw me. Well, those guys are like sick in the head, I think. Like they're addicted. Mm. Like
that's a thing, yeah.
It's a problem. But then the flip side, as Buck said, is you see the people who are just desperately trying to get in shape, and it's not really going all that well.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't know if I'm desperate.
Well, I'm not saying you. I'm just saying, like, this poor woman I saw out there a little bit ago, I mean, boy, she was struggling. And she, you know, probably weighed 275. And
those are the ones that I always kind of, when I'm driving by, my side thought is, get it.
Yeah.
I'm just
that's what I think, too. I'm like, hey, this is great.
Hell yeah, good for you.
And then when I see David Beckham running down the street with no shirt on and tats everywhere and abs, I'm like, dude, you're exhausting.
Loser.
Yeah. I know your body type is what my wife would like mine to be, but you're a loser.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I want to run. All that guy does when he's not running is look at himself in the mirror.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't want that guy. Okay, you want guys like, you know, well, not really like me or you or Buck, but there are guys that you want.
What you think we are is what you want.
Yeah. So anyway, I was looking at her going, I always have a worse thought that comes after like the good for you part, and it's always, that won't last. And I,
you said that yesterday. You're like, you're going to do this triathlon, and that's going to be the end of
it. I hate thinking this way, but I do. I just think it's cute. I love it. tussle your little hair. I want you to run, but it's going to end, and it will end sooner than later.
It's entirely possible, but there won't be anything wrong with that if that's the case.
That's absolutely
like
correct.
I'm not investing anything absolutely other than correct. Sweat equity and.
But I think the reason for that is that it goes back to Patrick's original point, which is the whole thing is dumb.
Yeah.
And I think at some point you realize that.
But the whole idea of trying to maintain a healthy profile is not dumb.
Right.
No, not at all.
You just figure out there are other ways to do that.
Sure. I do it better with goals ahead of me, though.
Starve yourself.
Maybe
or a
more
ball.
Sustainable ways.
I could play pickup basketball for like 4 hours just because there's a ball and a score. But running, I hate.
What about like a keto diet? Can you just lose everything that way?
He just mentioned he hates running, and yet this is what you chose to do. To get in shape.
Well, what else am I going to do?
That just means you hate yourself, though.
I was swimming. It's fine. I don't know if I'm pushing myself enough.
You hate yourself.
Yeah, if it's like, when I go to the gym, I swim because I love to swim. Okay, I love swimming. Being in a pool at a gym is not a problem for me. But I hate running. So the idea of deciding to run to get in shape means I'm so mad at myself for putting myself in this situation
that
I'm
going to
force myself to do something that I absolutely hate.
It's gotten bad.
That makes me think that Buck low-key hates himself.
I don't think that's true.
No. Buck, I just have little kids and would like to maybe increase my longevity here.
Yeah. And that's great. But I think, again, people end up coming back to, you know, food, you know, sustainable lifestyle of, you know, like...
Can't eat out every day.
Yeah, and you got to eat the right things.
Right.
And maybe a little fasting.
I only eat from 12 to 8.
Maybe, yeah, so you're a faster.
Yep, I'm a faster.
It's a new thing. And
it's also more just I don't like eating till noon.
Well, I think
and
once
I don't
you,
like eating late.
Once you start fasting, I think you realize, and there are different increments of fasting, but once you do it, you realize how little food you actually need, and it's really just the little food that you do need just needs to be the right food, and then I think you look at things totally differently. That's
are you still doing that, Isaac? Are you still?
Yeah, I still do that.
So what's your window?
Well, I have a great schedule because I will eat before the show, and I'm done until tomorrow morning.
So you're a one meal a day guy?
No, I'll get up in the morning and
have breakfast and a lunch.
A little snackaroonie or something.
Because when you get home, 7:30, 7:45.
I don't need any food.
Yeah.
And then I'll go to bed. I go to bed early. Now, sometimes.
Grab a bevy, maybe.
A little bourbon.
Sometimes.
Rye.
Or sometimes, you know, if we go out or something. But it's usually weekdays, like the schedule. Yeah. It's easy.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's very nice. Anyway, Patrick, it's nice to have you in here.
It's nice to be here.
You old son of a bitch.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Buck's here. And Patrick, I believe, let's confirm this before we get into sports. And are you one of two fan hosts who were born from Hunt for the Host?
I am one of three.
Who am I missing? Okay, so Luke.
Myself.
You.
And Rashad.
Rashad, he was Hunt for the Host?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the story is the first year of Hunt for the Host, I made the final 8 or the final 12. I can't remember if it's 8 or 12, and then I was booted. It was a club segment that got me roasted.
Really?
They were like, you're not funny. You don't understand pop culture. You suck. Get out of here. And I was voted off the island. That year, Keith Hill won it. The old Enterprise rent-a-car, Keith Hill.
Yeah.
And Luke took second. Those were the two in the final.
Yeah.
And I think old Sacramento, basically on his depth
rest
chart.
Rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. Not dead. Had Rashad at number 3. So then Luke and Keith got a show.
Yep.
And Sacramento Sinner and Saint, and Sacramento put Rashad with Mike Lynch,
yep,
RIP,
on the weekend.
Also not dead,
yeah,
on the weekends to do Sports Sunday, which is now Joe Fisher.
Yeah, okay. And then where do you come in?
And then the next year we ran it back, and I won that.
Oh, we did two Hunt for the Hosts.
Did two of them.
Yeah, you won it.
I won it the next year.
You came
year.
Back strong. Patrick Harris 2.0.
It's my big... Luke and I battle with this all the time. I'm like, Luke, I'm a winner. You're a loser. And
yeah,
he
was a runner-up.
He was like, well, I lost first.
Yeah.
I was like,
RIP.
That's fair.
I still won, though.
He beat you. When you guys went head-to-head,
he beat me. But he still lost.
Yeah. That sounds like sour grapes coming
from me.
Hunt for the Host was fun. What year?
10 years ago for me. Luke is 11 years. I'm 10 years, like 2 weeks ago.
2014, 2015.
Something like that.
We would go out to Buffalo.
2015.
We would go out to Buffalo Wild Wings, and we would put on, and it was aired. We put it on the air.
Yep.
It was at 7 after our show, maybe 6.
The prelims were very fascinating. Like, I did my prelim the second time around at the Vancouver Hazeldell Buffalo Wild Wings. That was not on the air, but swag was there. And so you had 2 minutes to talk about whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
And they just gave you a mic. They were like, Isaac Rupp, your turn.
Yeah.
Go. And you had 2 minutes. And then there was a group of judges there. I think, you know, Sacramento was there and maybe some other people. Maybe Boss Man Cooley was there at the time. I don't remember. And it was just kind of like, yes, no, yes, no, yes. And then you moved along. And then we went to Lloyd Center, Buffalo Wild.
Yeah, and that's where we aired it.
And that's where we aired it.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And you guys did little bits, and mm-hmm. we actually found 3 hosts out of that are still here to this. 10 years later, there are 3 guys still here. That I think that's great.
Those guys are 11. They got
yeah,
another
11
year.
Yeah,
I'm a 10. They're 11.
That's amazing. Well, Patrick's going to be hanging out with us today, and we are going to talk about sports. News of the day, Seggy, first, because there's a lot of stuff that dropped kind of late breaking, including, did John Elway kill his friend? Next on The Fan. Hi. Patrick Harris is here today. It's Wednesday. We are goofing off. Beautiful day.
Must be a Wednesday. It's always a Wednesday.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that used to be the start of your program until they moved it to Tuesday.
Now it must be a Tuesday because it's always a Tuesday.
Of course, Patrick, I did fail to mention in the first seggy, if you're new to Patrick, he is of Hunt for the Host fame, but he also hosts the baseball show, which is every Tuesday night after us at 7 p.m. with Joe Fisher. Hot Corner.
The Hot Corner.
And we do have some baseball on today's program,
wonderful,
which we'll get to later. I want to do a news of the day, Seggy, because you and I were texting back and forth this morning, and there's a lot of stuff on there that we'll get to, but a lot has gone down since you and I spoke, and I just wanted to get some of it because it's late-breaking and relevant. We're going to start chrono. That's what the kids say for chronologically.
Chrono.
Yeah.
My kids are really young.
Are you sure? No.
My kids are really young, so I feel like I get the second generation.
How old are your kids?
8, 10, and 12.
Oh, wow.
So I get like the second generation of what the kids are saying, and by the time it's reached me, I'm way behind. But I'm put behind the eight ball to begin with.
Well, yeah, you're not. It's not like, okay, but.
If you got a 17-year-old who's all up in the know of everything, then you're going to know chrono. My kids are going to say chrono in like 2 months.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah. Yeah.
Right now, it's just lit, fam.
Yeah,
right?
We're still lit. Yeah, we're still super
There's
lit.
There's this big one with the Youngs. Like, my nieces told me it's like skibbity...
Skibbity toilet?
Skibbity toilet,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, man, dude.
What
is
going on?
That's the dumbest thing in the world.
Boy, it
it's
really
it's
is.
Banned
skibbity
in my
toilet?
House.
Yeah, yeah,
what
skibbity
is that?
Toilet.
Yeah, my 8-year-old, he loves to say it. If he says that, I'm like,
yeah,
absolutely
it's not. It's a super young kid thing.
Does it just mean
it's
I have to go pee? Like, what is
it's
it?
A YouTube thing.
I don't even... Honestly, I can't even...
So it's a meme?
Yeah,
they call you like skibbity toilet, and then it's funny to them. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay,
if somebody could explain it on the text line, that'd be great.
That would be,
and
great.
We'll read it. But I don't know.
They will ask me to say things that are like inconsequential in my mind. They're like marble table. Say marble table, and I say marble table.
Yeah,
and you're like.
You
I don't know if I want to know, but yeah. I kind of want to know because you find this hilarious, and I just said marble table, and they're like, he said it again.
Yeah, I can assure you it's not cool. You don't need to know.
Yeah.
Moron kids. Anyway, we're going to start chronologically because I saw where Tyrese Halliburton's dad apologized. Now, this is what we left the show with last night. This is all happening right as we left the show.
I was listening. P1. Yeah, I'm a P1
so
over
you
here.
Saw that with Giannis and
I saw it,
Halliburton.
And I was on my way down here to do the show, so I caught your last seggy.
So that, the more I think about that, dude, that Halliburton guy, Tyrese's dad, is lucky he is not in the hospital.
He's lucky
he
didn't get his jaw broken, 100%.
How? You're
Giannis.
Lucky. He's lucky it's Giannis.
Yes.
He's lucky it's Giannis.
100%.
Like, I saw Ron in the stands.
Yeah.
Giannis looked like
Ron
he was
Artest,
about ready to go, too.
If that's Ron Artest, I saw Ron courtside last night, which, by the way, I love Ron Artest. If that's Ron Artest, yeah, man,
yeah,
he might be
dead. He's dead. But, yeah, and Giannis did look really pissed. Like, you caught him right at, I mean, you caught him at the worst time, and he still held himself in check, which I think is amazing. But the thing that bothers me, so Halliburton's dad, I guess what we ended up seeing with another angle is that he had some sort of sign or shirt or something that he was dangling in front of Giannis.
Dropping F-bombs. Yeah, this is what we effing do. Man, this whatever. Is what we effing do.
Well, the big thing that you mentioned yesterday is as soon as the game was over, he ran onto the court and got in Giannis's face, which is just unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, that he had some sort of white, I couldn't tell what was on it, but he had some sort of white banner or something that he was holding up showing Giannis, and Giannis is just staring him down. Anyway, Halliburton's dad did apologize today, and this bothers me, and I want to know what you guys think about this, because I firmly believe there is a difference between just making a mistake and apologizing for it and what he did. In other words, I hate the act of somebody just being a schmuck and then saying sorry. Because that to me says that this is a pattern in your life. You do this all the time. You act like an idiot and then you keep saying sorry and you get away with that and you think that's good enough. To a lot of people, that's not good enough. You're an idiot, you're a schmuck, and you should have been dropped right on the floor by Giannis and it would have been great. He's a grown ass man. He should be able to control himself in that moment, right? Or do you think that's just a mistake that's okay, say you're sorry and move on.
And I think being a family member of the team, you're held to an even higher standard than the average person.
Yes. I don't know, man. Mistakes happen. Like, people make mistakes.
Do you think that's a mistake, or is he just a douchebag?
Absolutely not. I think you're a douchebag.
Exactly.
Like, mistakes happen, okay? Like,
and you need to apologize for your mistakes.
It's been a long time since I've done a four-hour radio show, okay? If I zone out at some point, that's a mistake. If I drop an F-bomb at some point, that's a mistake. But if I come in here and say, Rob, you're one of the worst people I've ever seen ever do this job, that's not a mistake. That's your choice. And I think Pops, as he's called, Pops.
You happen to be right.
Pops. That's why we love you. Pops, that's not a mistake. That's not a heat of the moment. You don't decide in that moment. Okay, so it's like you guys were talking a couple weeks ago about like two dogs that got into something and some guy runs over there to rip this dog out of the jaws of someone else, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the fight
right
or flight.
In the butt.
That's a like, holy S, I got to do something right now to fix this. What Pops did last night, that's premeditated.
Yeah.
That's like, I can't wait to win. I'm going to go on the court. And even if it's a minute before that happens, he's still sitting there going, I'm going to go to Giannis's face and talk trash.
Yeah.
That's a choice.
Well, I don't know.
That's not a mistake.
I don't know if it's premeditated. I would say that he's probably a guy who just can't control. He's so hyped. He's emotional. He can't control that. And he acts out. But that now you're acting like a 10-year-old. Like, dude, you are a grown man. You should be able to control your emotions in that moment. And so that's why it bothers me when somebody just does something like that and then apologizes and then it all's supposed to just go away.
Well,
I think that's bullshit.
We also got through the whole LeVar Ball thing, you know, like bad parents. And I know we have some of this going on later in our show. Bad parents have always been a thing when it comes to athletes, whether you're a kid, teenager, superstar, etc. But we lived through the LeVar Ball aspect, which was some of the most nauseating sports stuff we've ever had to live through.
He's kind
of
gone away.
He has gone away because his kids aren't very good outside of LaMelo, who's okay. So that kind of goes away. So now when you see parents of superstars acting this way, you're like, dude, we've already done this. Go away. I'm exhausted by you. There's no, I can't understand even a Pacer fan who's got a Tyrese Halliburton jersey. I can't actually believe someone that says, he was kind of in the right there.
Yeah.
Like, well, imagine there's no way.
If you're a Lillard guy and Lillard, you know, Lillard's mom was courtside some.
Yeah.
Imagine if Lillard's dad was courtside and was like this guy or like LeVar or like, you know, even just like Dion. Imagine that. Maybe you would, you know, if you're a fan of the team, maybe you'd be making excuses for him. But I think the guy's a bonehead, and it just bothers me when you do something stupid, not make a mistake, you just do something stupid, and then you just, oh, I'm sorry.
If you want a lesson in how to handle an escalating situation, look at Giannis. Stood there as he was talking to him, and you could see Giannis, like if it's a meter, like a level meter, you could see his anger rising, 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 about to explode, and then he just goes, nope, I'm not going to do that.
He controlled his emotions.
And walked away.
Unlike the guy who's twice his age.
And half his size.
Emotional intelligence. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so the things the Falcons have been fined for, and we have the latest on a fascinating story in sports that we can't get enough of. The latest on Billy B and his little girl, Jordan. That's coming up next, but first, here's Buck. Here is the Skibidi Toilet expose that you didn't know you needed.
Which just made me ask more questions.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to explain this succinctly, and you're going to be like, what? But this is what eight-year-olds are into. Apparently, Skibidi Toilet is from a YouTube show. It's basically an animated war between toilet head people and camera head people.
Which made me ask, what is a toilet head person and what's a camera head person?
The show, it's a YouTube show, and it's... So, apparently, singing human heads come out of toilets, and they fight humanoids who have cameras and speakers and televisions in place of their heads. So it's either a toilet with a human head or it's a toilet with the camera, the speaker, the television, and they fight.
Okay.
And that's really all we need to know about Skibidi Toilet. You are welcome. Thank you.
Men of the people, we're here to help you out.
But it is a thing. And who, I mean, like, I'm
so should I tell my eight-year-old I'm a camera head? Leave me alone.
Yeah, see what happens.
Or should I tell them I'm a toilet head?
You might blow their mind. I don't know which is better. I can tell you the animated toilet head, human head, is terrifying.
Then I'm going to choose camera head.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose camera head.
Skibidi Toilet. So Bill Belichick and Jordan, what's her last name?
Buck? Hudson. Jordan Hudson. Hudson.
Yeah, we've got the latest on this. Now, we talked
about...
She's
a Jordan, too.
She is?
That's correct.
She is a Jordan.
J-O-R-D-O-N.
Oh, yeah, but she Jordan. Pronounces it Jordan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But
much like our friend Schultz.
Yeah, it's like a Jordan and an A-A-Ron. Like, you will always be called that.
Jordan. So we talked about her yesterday, and, you know, look, I don't think it takes a genius to see this is going to end badly.
Some hard-edge journalism there.
Well, I don't know. The latest is that apparently she killed Hard Knocks. So North Carolina was going to be on Hard Knocks, and
they were going to go college route.
Yeah, yeah. And Belichick was all for it. Belichick wanted it. I think he probably wanted it.
So he said he pushed for it.
Recruit.
Yeah.
And she killed it. And the people at HBO won't say that she killed it, but apparently that's what happened. Is she got involved? So this is the bigger theme. Coming off the CBS interview, is that she is all up in his media business and his PR business, and she's not doing a very good job of it. UNC released a statement today saying all the wrong things about how the CBS interview went down, and it's supposedly from Bill, and he's upset about how everybody focuses on one thing, but he wants them to focus on another thing, and they keep asking questions about Jordan. I mean, like...
And can I just say, this is exactly what you said yesterday about trying to thread the needle and these people at these elite places telling others what to think. The moment they released that statement saying, don't believe what you're seeing, this is part of another thing, people just doubted it even more.
Yeah.
Like you're just being stupid.
It's really shocking. This is just a repeat of yesterday. How many entities, whether it be Jordan or Belichick or North Carolina, do not understand how media works? When they work with the media constantly, like they should know exactly how it all works.
Well, especially Bill, because of how he's been for 20, 30 years with the media.
Right.
Like you could be tired of his shtick. You could be tired of the and the blah, blah, blah. But he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. And he got away with it.
Well,
for
a long time. Yeah. See, I don't know if he knew what he was doing. I think he did what he thought was the best way to handle it, which probably was for him. It made him look like an ass, but to your point, it's like...
It worked.
Yeah, I think it worked for him.
It became a meme. It became a joke. It became a...
It wasn't great for him.
Moving on to Cincinnati.
It wasn't great for him in the eyes of other people. You're in the public eye, but at the same time, I don't think he gives a rip about that. His thing is, and he said this in this stupid North Carolina release today, this man believes that he should be able to put out a book... And he thinks that his interview tour that she set him up on to go around talking about the book, he thinks they should only ask about the things that he wants them to ask about. Like, it's absurd.
How control the narrative.
Out of touch these people are. Dude, you're dating a 24-year-old woman. You're 73.
A hot.
Super hot. And she's sitting there controlling in your interviews, and CBS shows that. You don't think they're going to show that?
Yeah.
I mean, you're dumb. Like
the story became that. The story was no longer Bill.
And that is their own fault. And that's exactly what CBS said. They said, look, we went in there to do a story, and stories, they take on a mind of their own based on what happens.
It was built as a fluff piece that nobody was going to watch or care about.
Well, that's what he wanted.
Their PR department, though, specifically said there were no preconditions or limitations on this interview. None. Not before, not after we talked to the publisher.
And that's what you're saying. Like, you can't go in blind. If you say, you know, I don't want to talk, you know, if we bring on Aaron Rodgers right now to interview him, he's going to say, I don't want to talk about ayahuasca, I don't want to talk about the Packers, and I don't want to talk about whoever I'm dating, and don't talk to me about my brother. Like, whatever, you know, he's got a list of things. You bring on Mahomes, okay? I don't want to talk about my crazy wife, I don't want to talk about my crazy brother. Anything else is fair game. To walk in and say, I don't have anything, you're setting yourself up. You got to roll with it.
Well, yeah, you have every right to say you don't want to talk about certain things, but this is my whole crux of my whole point is then don't be out there doing interviews and then get mad when people don't adhere to what you want. Like, you can be private, just be private.
Mm-hmm.
Stop posting on Instagram, and guess what? People will leave you alone.
Stop posting weird things.
They don't have access to you. Yeah, it's like they want their cake and eat it too. Like, I'm trying to find this. I want to read this North Carolina. I want to read this statement.
Not talking about this.
No.
No.
Here it is. Okay. So he released a statement responding to the awkward CBS News interview, which we've played here, claiming it presents selectively edited clips and stills from just a few minutes of the interview to suggest a false narrative that Jordan was attempting to control the conversation, which is simply not true. That's what he said.
I don't know. Stepping in and saying, hey, I know you're not interviewing me, but we're not going to do this. That's stepping in.
Exactly.
That's stepping in.
And this is the thing.
That's like Tyrese saying, my dad wasn't trying to aggravate Giannis. Right. He just happened to be there.
He just did.
But it's even another level, because it'd be like if the Pacers or the Bucks commented on it from their PR team. Like, the fact that North Carolina's went, like, isn't this just Bill's problem? What does it even have to do with UNC? Well, like, why are they stepping up?
Okay, so my philosophy on that is that they bent over backwards to get him. They were desperate to get him.
Well,
and he runs everything.
Well,
over there.
We see this. We see this in stuff. Not to mention him again, but it's like, how much control does Aaron Rodgers have over Pittsburgh's draft? You know, there's been those rumblings. That's the kind of thing. Like, when you bend over backwards get Bill Belichick in as your head football coach, you kind of got to deal with sign up for.
He's running things, which means she's running things.
Yeah.
And this is why it's getting bad. So here's the statement. Unfortunately, I agreed to speak with CBS to promote my new book, The Art of Winning. Prior to this interview, I clearly communicated with my publicist at Simon & Schuster that any promotional interviews I participated in would agree to focus solely on the contents of the book. Unfortunately, that expectation was not honored during the interview. I was surprised when unrelated topics were introduced, and I repeatedly expressed to the reporter, Tony... and the producers, that I preferred to keep the conversation centered on the book. After this occurred several times, Jordan, with whom I share both a personal and professional relationship, stepped in to reiterate that point to help refocus the discussion. She was not deflecting any specific question or topic, but simply doing her job to ensure the interview stayed on track.
I can buy that. I can buy that.
Well, from his point of view, sure.
But the aesthetic is terrible. Like, if she is stepping in and saying, hey, no, remember, we're talking about the book. We're not talking about us as a dating. We're not talking about, you know,
he's a big boy, though. He can turn down his own
six rings book or boat, whatever. Like, we're here to talk about the book. That I can understand. But the way it comes across like, you mentioned my name and you will shut the F up right now.
It's already been addressed.
It comes across she comes across very aggro.
Well, she is, yeah.
Yeah, and instead
it's, again, not the right way to handle business.
Instead of just saying, whoa, hey, we weren't going to do that.
Here's another thing. I have a suggestion. I'm going to be a PR guy right now.
Love it.
So rather than go on an interview with independent, neutral, journalistic television station, okay, because you do not control them. You might think you want to, or do your best to try, but you're not going to. CBS has been in it for a long time. I don't know if you heard the show called 60 Minutes. Dude, they know what they're doing when it comes
to
journalism.
They make TV shows about how these companies came to power.
Right. So it's like, you can try it that way. Like, this is, you can try to control it that way, but it's going to end up like this because, again, you're dating a 24-year-old and you're expecting everyone to just ignore that. So you're an idiot. Here's my big PR idea. Jordan, if you're so great, why don't you sit down with him, put out a fun interview about the book, have some fun about their relationship or whatever, put it on YouTube. Dude, that thing would go viral and people would be like, oh my God, they're great. Look how cute they are. Or
maybe they're actually happy.
Right.
It's not a money grab or whatever.
Why don't you do that? My point is, if you're putting out content or you want people to consume your content, in this instance, his book, promote it yourself then. If you're using other entities like CBS News, which are big and have a lot of viewers, mm-hmm. if you're using them to promote it, be prepared for what you're going to get from them.
Also, you're going to CBS like this morning. You're not going to CBS Sports.
CBS Sunday morning, I think.
Sunday morning.
Which is a great show. I don't know if you watch that show.
I have seen that show.
Great show.
You are going to a mainstream media outlet, not a sports outlet. Their bread and butter is not sports. Right. Their bread and butter is the juice.
Yeah.
And so, of course, they're going to squeeze you.
Well, and I just feel like, again, they're ignoring the idea that the juice is the thing that everyone wants to know about. It's the most...
Without a doubt.
It's pretty juicy. He's dating a 20... He's 73!
Look, my best friend is 40 years old. His partner is 65. You don't think that raises questions in our circle?
Damn.
It raises questions all the time.
I love that.
And you just kind of navigate
it. Let's get them on Sunday.
You know, he's my best friend in the world. And you navigate that and you kind of talk about that. But I don't see his partner walking in and saying, hey, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because people are bred that way to ask those kind of questions. Not to derail too much. The worst part about this whole interview is that we miss the concept that Robert Kraft is not in the book.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I want to know about. As a sports fan, I want to know, how does Bill Belichick write a book about his life in football and not include the owner of his 6 football rings?
By the way, that was exceptionally awkward, and we have that 30 seconds.
I know, but
right,
like, that's what I want to know more about.
Well, he wouldn't talk about it.
Exactly. But that story gets buried because he's got a crazy hot 24-year-old. Yeah.
All right,
and maybe that's the point.
He's not in this book. How come?
He's not. Well, again, it's about my life lessons in football, and it's really more about the ones that I've experienced directly.
But he's not even in the acknowledgement section.
Correct.
Do you feel like you were treated with dignity and respect when you were let go by Robert Kraft?
Yeah, well, it was a mutual decision for us to part ways.
He said fired.
It was a mutual decision.
God. So again,
it's brutal.
They dragged him into a place he didn't want to be, and he just shuts down and does the Bill thing.
Yeah.
And you usually can't. That's his prerogative, and that's the way he handles things. Okay.
And surely you should be able to see that question coming too, right?
For sure.
If you're coached up, right?
But I feel like if Jordan doesn't jump in, that's the conversation that we're having. Is Bill's awkward response to not having Robert Kraft in the book.
Yes.
And that story is dead 3 days ago.
Yeah, no.
That's a Monday topic
100%.
That we go through and we let it go. Then people start making fun of Robert Kraft and his Thai massages, and Tom Brady gets brought into this conversation, and then that story dies. But here we are 3 days later, not talking about the real story, which is that Belichick hates Robert Kraft.
Well, clearly, yeah.
Clearly.
But he won't talk about it.
But he said enough to me.
Yeah.
That little snip right there tells me all I need to know.
You know, the other thing too is he wrote a book that no one really cares about what he put in the book. He is ignoring everything that people want to know from him.
Well, everybody wants Tom, Bill. Everybody wants to know, and Tom's not going to say it, and Bill's not going to say it.
Yeah, I bet you Brady writes a book eventually and does say more than...
Maybe after Bill dies?
Maybe, but Bill is, he's blind. He just wants it one way, and it's just not going to be that way, and I'm amazed that smart people, very successful people, think like this and continue down this path when it just fails them every time, and he is failing again, and his book is going to fail, and their relationship looks like... You know, like I said, I don't think that's going to end well. And by the way, somebody else said on the text line, you know, the question was simply, how did you two meet? That was
we're
the
not
question.
Doing that.
Which they've explained before.
It's the so simplest
like on an
issue.
Airplane?
Yeah.
Sitting next to each other in an airplane?
Anyway.
I meet all my women flying business class.
We think.
Southwest Airlines.
I mean, they could be the kings of sports media, at least right now, king and queen, if they handled this. If they just leaned into it and just were themselves.
Right.
People would love that.
Well, I think that's kind of, you've already kind of seen that a little bit from Bill in this North Carolina role. He's kind of let down the guard a little bit. There's not as much as that buttoned up.
Some of it.
You know, $9 billion industry.
Some of that's her.
Some of that's probably her, but he seems to have let go a little bit and realized if I'm going to recruit at a college level, I can't be, we're moving on to Cincinnati. Like, I have to be a little more than that. And maybe that is her. But he started to open up a little bit. It's like one step forward, five steps back.
I know it.
It's like, we're going to do this. I'm going to show myself as a more open person. But the second I get uncomfortable, I'm out of here.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right. How many times have the Falcons been fined? And for what over the last 10 years? A quality list is next. Here's Buck. Okay, so we're spending the first hour today discussing the news of the day. In our next seggy, we will get to... we have a real-life Coug in the studio today, Patrick Harris.
There ain't much of us. There ain't many of us. But we are alive.
I've choked Coug. Coug education there. There ain't much of us.
That's
got to
be a drop, I think.
I want to know how you guys are feeling. Because the Pac-12 has a new TV deal. Well, the Pac-2.
Right.
And so we'll talk about that in our next segment.
It'll be great, too, not to reveal too much. But I've actually had this internal conversation a lot and have not really spoken much about it. Because it's actually kind of hard to talk to people about it.
I bet.
Because it's a weird spot.
It's so intense.
I'm excited to have an adult, professional discussion.
Well, and I'm interested to hear what Coug, because I've heard from some Biebs. Justin Biebs. Text me.
From the Bieber universe?
No, I've heard from some Biebs about it, and we've talked about it here, but not through the lens of the Cougs. And so we'll do that next. But a couple of other things we need to get to. One, real quick, John Elway. By the way, John Elway's a classic drunk. We all know that, right? Does everybody know that?
I mean, he just looks it.
That's
you know what I mean? Like, the Mr. Ed nickname is no longer good enough. Like, you just look like
a that's
booze
a drinker
out.
Right there. What did you say, Buck?
Yeah, I think that those rumors are pretty widely spread.
Yeah.
Like, and not because they aren't without evidence.
Yeah, hey, if you've ever run into
I love alcohol, too. But I don't think anybody looks at you and me and says, that guy's a booze.
I've heard guy can tie one on, golfing, honestly.
Well,
I can tie one on, too, but my face doesn't reek of alcohol.
Well, he's a little older than
literally
you.
And figuratively.
He's been doing it a long time. Suk tells legendary stories about him when he was in Broncos camp.
Yeah, yeah.
Of Elway just taking the golf cart and going to a bar. Like, practice is over. I'm out of here.
Can't get to his own car, just takes the golf cart.
They're at camp, I'm just going to go drinking. What are you going to do about it, Shanahan? Unbelievable. So he said Elway was a badass, like a great leader, good dude. Everybody loved him, just like he's the alpha guy.
But that was his demons, quote unquote.
Dude, anybody who's ever run into him at anything, and I've had known some people that have known, or it is.
You
it's
know,
a small world. Yeah. Dude, that guy is an animal. Today, a story has surfaced where Jeff Spurbeck, the longtime friend, business partner, and former agent of John Elway, died from injuries suffered when he fell off a golf cart, reportedly being driven by John Elway. He was 62 years old. The Riverside County, California coroner confirmed his death in a news release from the sheriff's office. This was Saturday night in La Quinta. And according to TMZ, Elway was driving the golf cart when Spurbeck fell off, hit his head on asphalt. He'd been sitting in the passenger seat. They had also reported he'd been on life support following the fall. Now, have you ever dumped a friend out of a golf cart?
No, but I have high-centered a golf cart.
High-centered, like on a hill?
Like on a hill,
yeah.
Well, I was, like, stealing it at 3 a.m.
Nice.
Yeah, but I did not dump the buddy. Like, the buddy stayed intact. Like, we were both sitting there, like, get it to move.
Oh, so it just got stuck?
Oh, we bailed. Oh, bail.
Yeah.
Bail.
Yeah. You didn't push it off of there?
No, run.
Yeah.
And we were like, 20. We've been drinking, and we're not 21.
No way. Wait, drink what? I was perfectly...
Can you drive a golf cart sober?
Well, yeah. Yes, when you're golfing.
Well.
Some of us. I was perfectly sober and driving I was driving my buddy in a golf cart we were at OGA. And if anybody knows the bloop, 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 seventh hole at OGA, you go down into this swale. mm-hmm. with the golf cart, and it's pretty steep, and it had been raining, and dude, I damn near put that thing in the freaking...
In the drink,
yeah. Yes. And my buddy came flying out of there. He barrel rolled, had scrapes all over his arm and stuff. We were almost dead. Almost dead. I wasn't going all that fast either.
Well, had you been drinking?
No.
Oh, okay. So you have to imagine in this situation, they've been drinking.
Guaranteed.
Or at least John has.
Guaranteed. Okay, so it's like, I don't necessarily blame John for dumping the buddy in the golf cart, because it sounds like a semi-plausible situation. But if he fell out of the golf cart, so you're talking about, like, look how high my chair is up. I know this is great for radio, but look how high my chair is up, right?
I see that, yes.
That's higher than probably a golf cart, by a little bit, or maybe the same.
I think so.
So if I fall out of this chair and hit my head on the asphalt, I will most likely not die. But if I have 35 Coors Lights in me and I'm bleeding out, yeah, man.
Or you're going fast. If I'm going fast,
you might be in trouble.
Dump you out of there. Well, he died. It's not might. He's dead. It's unbelievable.
There ain't much of us.
So I need to know more about this story. But that, you know, I got to tell you, I bet you there's a lot of Elway people out there that are like, oh, yeah, I was waiting for that to happen. Surprised it took this long.
Oh, yeah, but nobody's going to say anything.
No?
Elway is for sure protected.
Yep.
I mean, he's a god.
Yep. It'll be swept under the rug. And then last...
And he'll sell some more cars.
Is that what he's doing?
I think he owns a large portion of dealerships in the Denver area. Like him and Peyton Manning, I believe, owns most of the Papa John's in the greater Denver area. Because that's what you do. You use your money to invest in...
Yeah.
Businesses.
We have
like
Joey
that.
Harrington. Do we have another quarterback that...
What?
Like, I mean, look, John Elway, Peyton Manning, that's a pretty good quarterback duo to be owning businesses all around your city.
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
You know?
I think Damian Lillard owns some car dealerships.
Yeah, Lillard Toyota.
McMinnville or something?
In McMinnville, yeah. That's right.
Well, he's going to have more time on his hands to...
Well, don't forget Uncle
pour
Spliffy.
Over those numbers.
Don't forget Uncle Spliffy.
Well, yeah, rest in peace.
He got in the weed.
Really, rest in peace.
Really.
He died.
Actually dead. He is dead.
Yeah, he died.
We're not killing him. He's
dead. The last thing is the Falcons got fined today because Jeff Ulbrich, the former Jets interim head coach, now their defensive coordinator, his son was the one that prank called.
Oh, no.
Shador. So they fined the Falcons, and I think, Buck, help me out, 250 Gs to the team.
And 100K to the coach.
And he had to find, ooh.
Yeah,
that's not an easy check to write.
That's probably at over 10% of his salary. What do you think DC's making? You think DC's making over a mil?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I bet he is.
Okay.
He's pretty...
But still, 10% of your salary is pretty... Hey, Rob.
Dude, that ain't...
Hey, Rob, you said the F word the other day. I would like 10% of your salary. You're like, oof,
yeah, that hurts. He's earning $1.6
million. Okay.
160K is 10%.
Yeah. I can't imagine the conversation he had with that kid.
That's the thing. Like, what would you do with me? Like, what do you do with me?
I thought about that
today. I got Bubba, too. So I got my 8-year-old Bubba. Like, what do I think about Bubba? What are you doing with me?
Like, I thought about that today, and I honestly, I did not have a good answer.
I don't have an answer.
If you cost your dad 100K and his company a quarter mil.
Well,
I don't think it's that.
Just your behavior. It's like, dude, you represent me. You're my son. I'm a... somewhat high-profile guys, the defensive coordinator.
Also, you stole something from me.
That's true.
You stole something from me.
I don't know what I would say or how I would handle that. This is a hard part about being a parent, as you well know. You come into these situations where it's like, this is delicate. I don't know what to do.
It's like my kid stole my pot and got stoned, and it's like, well, it's my pot.
I don't have any.
You know, and it's like the kid took
some drugs.
The kid took Shador's number off my iPad. And you're like, oh, that's my iPad.
Dude.
Why did I leave it open? How does he know the password?
So how would you handle it?
I don't know. I wrestled with the same thing.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think it is.
The kid's what, 22?
Something like that. Yeah, college age. I think it's the ultimate. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Yeah. Conversation.
It's a Mike Riley talk.
Oh, I think
life.
I'm mad.
A Mike Riley talk. That's a great way to put it.
It's a Mike Riley.
It's a Mike Riley talk. It's
where they're surprised. See, I know where you're going with this. The key here is they have to be so terrified, but then when you sit down, you're calm about it
because I don't know what to tell you.
So that throws them off because now they're like, oh, I thought he was going to yell at me.
Now my dad's going to whoop my ass.
You open with the listen, dude. I did some dumb stuff too.
Yeah,
and then they're like, oh wait,
oh this must be
maybe
really bad.
Maybe it.
Yeah.
However, I didn't do anything this stupid.
And you owe me $100,000, you little bitch.
You'll be working it off for the next however long.
I think that's what it is. I think you just sit down and you just look at them and you're just.
Dude, we need to evaluate. Yeah,
that's what it started. It starts with a giant sigh.
Yeah. I mean, I love him, but what a bitch. Maybe it's over time. It's like, you're going to have to prove to me that you're not a douchebag.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, different words.
You know, your sister at Yale would never do something like this.
Wait, does he have a sister at Yale?
I have no idea, but yeah. I hope so. I hope he's at like Florida State partying hard and his sister's at like Cornell.
Right. Yeah, is that where he went? Florida State?
I have no idea.
No, he was at Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
Okay. Yeah. My bad. Yeah. Not Florida State. Idiot. Ole Miss.
So the things the Falcons have been fined for, this is...
I have not seen this. This is fantastic. I can't wait for this.
Just over the last 10 years, somebody had this on Twitter. They got fined $350,000 and a fifth-round pick for having illegal crowd noise. You may remember that.
Pumping in.
Yep. $75,000 and $25,000 to the head coach for an injury report violation regarding Bijan Robinson, the running back.
That stuff happens. He got caught.
$250,000 and a fifth-round pick for tampering with Kirk Cousins, and $250,000 and plus $100,000 to the defensive coordinator for the draft prank calls. Someone else threw in, and a quick little reminder that Calvin Ridley, your wide receiver, was suspended for sports gambling. That is everything the Falcons have been fined for over the last 10 years.
Did they ever get fined for Michael Vick?
No, that was all stuff just levied against
okay,
him. They weren't aware of anything.
Yeah, they weren't found like liable or anything like that.
No, I don't think they covered anything up. I don't think there were any way.
So
involved.
Are they the most fined team? Or are we just talking about this because it's relevant?
It feels like they just filled the most unique bingo card.
It's just unique, all the things they've been fined for. All the things they're trying to do.
Because most other teams haven't been fined for even one of those things. Maybe tampering, but not the rest of
them. And I don't think any of those
injury reports, I feel like that's probably pretty common.
Yeah, but the crowd noise, the players gambling, and then this.
Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, and I don't think any of those things really matter.
No.
But the league, you know, we have to...
Protect the shield.
No fun.
All right. There is your news of the day. Well, it turned into... it was supposed to be like a segment. Turned into an hour. There's a lot of news today.
Look at us, dude.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who'd have thought?
Like pros.
Not me. Okay, so the Pac-12 TV deal is in place. Pac-2 TV deal is in place for 2025. And we have a real-life Coug in the studio. We're going to talk about what it must be like to be a Beaver or a Coug moving forward.
I need a beer.
And we're going to do that next on The Fan.
There ain't much of us.